السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. We continue with سورة البقرة. We said last week that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins سورة البقرة by describing three categories of people, three types of people. One is a description of the believers in the first four verses. Following that, Allah describes the disbelievers in two verses. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the munafiqeen. Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, in his tafsir, after giving the explanation of the two examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, he describes munafiqeen in two ways. And we said there is a difference of opinion among mufassireen. The two examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, are they both equal examples for the munafiqeen, or are they different examples, in that in the first one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the pure munafiq in belief, and in the second one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the munafiq in action. So this is a munafiq that sometimes has, you know, moments of light and moments of iman, and so these are not two same examples. They're referred to as a fire example and a water example, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the first example of the munafiqeen? مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. This is fire example. The example of the munafiqeen is like the one who lit a fire. فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ ذَهَبَ اللَّهُ بِنُورِهِمْ. When the fire becomes a means of light and the person is able to see the surroundings, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes that light. وَتَرَكَهُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And he leaves them in darknesses that they cannot see. Mufassirin said, we said last week, that this means that the munafiq benefits from their claim of iman whilst they are living, and then when they die, they enter into darknesses, and those are the darknesses of hellfire. And then the second example is an example of water, أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, the water that comes from in storm, right? Rainstorm. And so the rainstorm is described, or by the Mufassirin, as either Islam or revelation, that it comes down, and the munafiqeen are described in this verse, فِيهِ ظُلُمَاتٌ وَرَعْدٌ وَبَرْقٌ. We said ظُلُمَات is the darknesses of doubt that the munafiqeen have. So water is coming down, this is revelation or Islam. The ظُلُمَات that Allah mentions, this is the darknesses of doubt in the heart of the munafiq. وَرَعْدٌ, رَعْد is what? The sound, lightning sound. Barq is the lightning itself, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ra'd and Barq. Some ulama say that this is the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, right? And so in this situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَعْدٌ وَبَرْقٌ يجعلون أصابعهم في آذانهم من الصواعق حذر الموت والله محيط. يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه. Whenever lightning strikes and there is some light, they are able to see and they walk in. They utilize that light in order to walk. وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا. And when darkness overcomes them, then they stand. They cannot move anymore because they cannot see their surroundings. And so some mufassirin say this is the munafiq who has moments of light, moments of understanding, moments of iman, and then returns to doubt. So in that moment of iman, he's able to see, he's able to understand, he's able to perceive, but then very quickly they return to their state of darkness. So this is the example of fire example and water example. After this, Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, just a summary of how Quran categorizes people in all of its surahs and all of its verses. And so he says, فَتَخَلَّصَ مِنْ مَجْمُوعِ هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ الْكَرِيمَاتِ أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ صِنْفَانِ. If you take all of the verses that describe people and categorize people, it tells us that believers are of two types. You have what in Surah Al-Waqi'ah? مُقَرَّبِين. These are believers of high status. And you have أَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينَ, the believers who are the people of the right. Lower category, but from the dwellers of paradise. So believers are described as two types. Munafiqeen as described as two types, as we have seen. Right? You have the munafiq in belief, that is a kafir inside, and only claiming Islam. And then you have a munafiq that is in doubt. Right? There is some belief in them, but they have qualities of nifaq. So munafiqeen are two types. And then kuffar are described as two types also. You have the leading kuffar and you have the following kuffar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these two and give examples of these two in Surah An-Nur. And there is a hadith that Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, after categorizing people, he says, hearts are categorized also in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reported, the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, said, there are four kinds of hearts. A polished heart as shiny as a radiant lamp. A sealed heart with a knot tied around it. A heart that is turned upside down. And a heart that is wrapped. So you've got one that is shining like a lamp. And there is one that has a knot tied around it. There is one that is upside down, like a container that is upside down, recipient that is upside down. And then the fourth is a heart that is wrapped. As for the polished heart, it is the heart of the believer and its lamp is the light of faith. So this is a shiny heart, the heart of the believer. The sealed heart is the heart of the unbeliever. Allah says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. We saw in the verses. Their hearts are sealed. Allah says, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ. Whether you warn them, you don't warn them, it's not going to make a difference. Allah has sealed their hearts. This is the second type. The heart that is turned upside down is the heart of a pure hypocrite, pure munafiq. It is upside down. Meaning that it does not benefit from revelation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives example or parable of revelation, and it is like water. Actually, even in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَثَلُ مَا بَعَثَنِيَ مَثَلُ مَا بَعَثَنِ اللَّهُ بِهِ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْعِلْمِ كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَصَابَ أَرْضًا. That the example of the guidance and the knowledge that I was sent with is like rain. And so the heart of the munafiq is, the pure munafiq is the heart that is turned upside down. For he had knowledge, but he denied it. He had knowledge because the munafiq testifies with his tongue and says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And so he has knowledge, but he denies it in his heart. As for the heart that is wrapped, it is the heart that contains both faith and hypocrisy, iman and hypocrisy. Right? Rasulullah SAW says the parable or example of faith in his heart is the example of the herb that is sustained by pure water. And so this munafiq in his heart, his faith is like what? A herb, a plant that is sustained with water. And so when it is given water, then it grows. And the example of the hypocrisy in his heart is like that of an ulcer that thrives upon pus and blood. Whichever of the two is greater will dominate. And so this person has what? Iman, but also hypocrisy. This iman can increase and decrease, and the hypocrisy can also increase and decrease. Following this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ عُبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. O humanity, worship your Lord who created you and those before you so that you may become mindful of Him. The purpose of worship is mindfulness, taqwa. He is the one who has made the earth a place of settlement for you and the sky a canopy, and sends down rain from the sky, causing fruits to grow as a provision for you. So do not knowingly set up equals to Allah in worship. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing all categories, all three categories: believers, kuffar, munafiqeen. Ya ayyuhan nas. Most of the Quran addresses the believers. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. And a sahabi radiallahu anhu says that when you hear Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, then pay attention, because Allah is going to command you something that is good, or He's going to forbid you something that is evil. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also addresses humanity. At times in the Quran you have Ya ayyuhar rusulu, command of Allah directed to messengers, prophets and messengers. Ya ayyuhar rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihan. Right. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses mankind in general. This is an example. Ya ayyuhan nas. This is obviously a call to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in the oneness of Allah, a call to La ilaha illallah. Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu, O humanity, worship your Lord who created you and those before you, so that you may become La'allakum tattaqun, so that you may gain taqwa. The purpose of all worship is to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and aware of Allah. Why does he deserve to be worshipped? Why worship Allah? Why not worship anyone else? Because He is the one who has made the earth a place of settlement for you. جَعَلَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءً. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by mentioning the earth before the heaven. So He made the earth a place of settlement for you, and the sky a canopy, a roof, and sends down rain from the sky, causing fruits to grow as a provision for you. So He has made your homes. He provided shelter. And He sustains you. This is why He deserves your worship. He created you, those before you, provides for you, and has made the land a place of dwelling for you, a home for you. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So do not knowingly set up equals to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. So this is, we said what? A call to the worship of Allah. لا إله إلا الله. But لا إله إلا الله cannot go without Muhammad Rasulullah. The following verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا. And if you are in doubt about what we have revealed to our servant, meaning Rasulullah, this is Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the call to the worship of Allah and the call to believe in revelation given to Muhammad Rasulullah. If you are in doubt about what we have revealed to our servant, i.e. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then produce a chapter like it, meaning like this revelation, like the Quran, and call your helpers other than Allah, if what you say is true. Meaning call all those that you want to assist you in this challenge. This challenge was made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people of Mecca when Rasulullah was in Mecca, and reiterated in Medina. We said Surah Al-Baqarah is a surah of Medina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, he says, bring the like of the Quran. In another challenge, he says, bring one surah equal to the Quran. In another challenge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bring a verse that is equal to the Quran. The same eloquence and the same meanings. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. If you are unable to do so, and you will never be able to do so. This is one, is that it's a challenge, but at the same time, a promise or a prophecy that it is not possible for you to bring something like the Quran. وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. In the tafsir, Mufassirin say this is what a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That from the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a challenge, in a society that took pride in its eloquence. You know, Arabi is a person that can communicate. Ajami is a person that has difficulty in communicating. The literal meaning, right? Arabi is a person that is eloquent and is able to communicate. And so anybody that speaks Arabic to a certain degree, a certain level, is considered Arabi. It has nothing to do with blood. It's the ability to speak and to express one's thoughts and feelings and emotions in an eloquent language. And everyone else is considered as Ajami. And so this is what a nation that takes pride in its ability to communicate in this Arabic language. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this challenge to them. And to this day, we know that nobody has produced anything like the Quran. There have been attempts. But, you know, for example, Musa ibn al-Kadhab came out with, you know, al-filu, what is it? Al-filu, mal-filu, wa ma adraka mal-filu, indahu khurtumun tawilun, or something of that sort, right? So maybe words that rhyme, not eloquent actually, but even more important is that there is no depth in meaning. And there is somebody, I actually stumbled across this, I think a few years ago, somebody who said, well, this challenge is easy, you know, an ex-Muslim. And he produced what? You know, he made some sort of Quran. I think it's available somewhere on YouTube.
Maybe film.
No, he produced something like Quran in its style and what have you. But the funny thing is, And he was, this person is reciting it, and he's using the roots of Tajweed. Right? So he's making Mad and Ghunna and what have you. And so you have not produced anything. All you are doing is imitating the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has no meaning whatsoever. It doesn't deal with the major themes that the Quran deals with. The past, the present, the future. Purpose of life, description of Allah, description of the creation in a way that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can describe it. Only the Creator can describe it. And description of the afterlife and what is to come in the afterlife. Anyway, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you are unable to do so, and you will never be able to do so, then fear the fire fueled with people and stones. فَاتَّقُ النَّارِ. Fear the fire that is fueled with people and stones. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, which is prepared for the disbelievers. Hellfire is prepared for disbelievers. And because everything has been created in pairs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala usually brings, you know, when He makes mention of something of the Quran, He will mention its zawj. Right? For example, in Iman, you need what? You need belief and in Allah and belief in His Messenger. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls to the belief in the oneness of Allah, and then following that, He calls to the belief in the revelation received by Muhammad Rasulullah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns of His punishment by saying that if you are not able to produce anything like the Quran, because this is the greatest miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah said in a hadith that every messenger was given a miracle to prove the truthfulness of his call. Salih alayhi salam, his people asked for Allah to bring out naqa, a pregnant she camel from stone, from a rock. The people of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, tis'a ayatin bayinat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him 9 different miracles. Isa alayhi salam, bringing the dead back to life, giving the blind sight, enabling the one who is deaf to hear. These are all miracles. But the greatest miracle is the miracle given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Quran, because it is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It cannot be competed with. They say that Quraysh, you know, when they used to gather in the times of Hajj, the shu'ara would compete with one another, the poets, right? And 7 pieces of poetry, 7 different poems had been selected in competition. They had been selected and hanged in the Kaaba. That these are the best produced ever by Arab poets. And so when Quran began to be revealed, slowly, slowly all of these have started to be removed until none of them remained. All of them were removed because of the eloquence of the eloquence of the Quran surpassed the eloquence of their poetry. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you're not able to do so, then fear the fire that is fueled with people and stones. U'iddat lil kafirin. This fire is prepared for the disbelievers. Some said u'iddat, the stones have been prepared for the disbelievers, or the fire has been prepared for the disbelievers. In here there is a warning to the believers as well, that Allah is saying that I don't want to punish you. I did not make hellfire for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a verse, تَقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. O you who believe, fear the hellfire that was prepared for the disbelievers. And so after mentioning the warning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives good news. وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Give good news, O Prophet of Allah, to those who believe and do good, that they will have gardens under which rivers flow, whenever provided with fruit, كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا. Whenever provided with fruit, they will say, هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلٍ. This is what we were given before. وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا. For they will be served fruit that looks similar, but tastes different. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. They will have pure spouses in these gardens. وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And they will be there forever. What does this verse tell us? Number one, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that there is a punishment and there is reward. The reward is for those who believe and do good deeds. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. What is the reward? Gardens under which rivers flow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Whenever they are provided with fruit, they will say, this is what we were given before. Mufassirin say this has two meanings. Either it means that they're presented with fruit and they remember what the how Allah provided for them in the world. For example, you get dates in paradise and you remember the dates of the world. And you say, oh, well, in the world we had something similar to this. Right? هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل. Something that was similar. The similarity is only in the name, nothing else. Right? Not in the description, not in the taste. In the name. Apple, apple. Date, date. Grapes, grapes. Allah says, وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا. That the fruit that they will be served will be similar, i.e. similar to the one that they were given in the world. Other Mufassirin say no. What it means is that Rasulullah ﷺ informs us that the pleasures of paradise change and increase. And so when they are served the fruit, and a believer eats a fruit in paradise, and then he's given another, he says, well, this must be the same as the one I've just had. But when he tastes the one that he has been given, it will be better than the previous one. Right? So they are similar in some way and different in taste. They will be served fruit that looks similar but tastes different. They will have pure spouses. Purity is one of the what? Allah purifies the dwellers of paradise. Physical purity and purity of character. Rasulullah said before the people of paradise, before they enter paradise, they come to a stream, a river, from which they will drink and bathe. When they drink it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes their insides. The whole system changes. Because you are resurrected as a human being like you were in the world. But when you drink from this water, everything changes inside of you. Because right now you are what? You are. You have organs and, you know, a stomach that takes in the food and digestion and then blood and liver and what have you, right? And then you have impurity and filth inside of you. All of that is removed when you enter paradise. And so with this drink, everything inside changes, and then they bathe with it and everything outside. Eternal beauty and youth, that you will not age. Rather, your beauty increases. It doesn't decrease. Right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they have pure spouses. They will have pure spouses. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, azwajul mutahhara here, spouses, this is both for male and female. Right? It is not exclusive to male. Because zawj in the Arabic language is the husband, but also the wife. But if you want to specify the wife, you say zawjah. Zawjah can only be a wife. But zawj can be what? Both husband and wife. So each will have, because one of the necessities of the human being is what? Company. And we are going to see how when Allah created Adam, He created from Adam Hawa for company. And so if a man dies that has no wives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will marry him in, will give him wives in paradise. And if a woman of this world dies without having been married, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide her with husband in paradise. وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. And then, وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned hellfire, He didn't say, although we know that خالدين فيها, the disbelievers will remain in hellfire eternally. But when it came to paradise, He said, وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. In order to do what? To increase the zeal for paradise in the believers. Right. Some things that Imam Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi says that in these verses, the first is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls to his oneness and to his worship. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, قَالَ قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيُّ ذَنْبٍ أَعْظَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. What is the greatest sin in the sight of Allah? قَالَ أَن تَجْعَلَ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُوَ خَلَقَكَ. That you associate a partner to Allah in worship when He created you. Nobody else created you. And so it makes no sense to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also a hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, أَتَدَرِي مَا حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ. Do you know what is the right of Allah upon His servants? And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that to worship Him and not to associate any partners with Him. So the first is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls to His worship alone without any partners. And then He gives evidence, you know, the creating of the heavens and the earth and the produce of the earth. All of these are what? Clear signs of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then establishes the truthfulness of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying that if you are in doubt of what has been revealed to him, then you have the challenge of bringing something that is similar to the Quran. Also, he says that the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in His warning, "U'iddat lil kafirin," hellfire has been prepared or was prepared for the disbelievers, that hellfire is in existence today. Yeah. It is in existence today. It is not something, an entity that Allah is going to create on the day of Qiyamah. Allah has already created hellfire. And we know this from a hadith. And already created paradise. And when a person enters their grave, they are shown what? Their place in paradise or their place in hellfire. And so this is proof, he says, that paradise and hellfire have already been created, because some have claimed otherwise. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Surely Allah does not shy away from using the parable of a mosquito or what is even smaller. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. As for the believers, they know that it is the truth from their Lord. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. As for the disbelievers, they argue, what does Allah mean by such a parable? يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Allah says, through this test, He leaves many to stray and guides many. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And leaves none to stray except the rebellious. الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ. Those who violate Allah's covenant after it has been affirmed. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلْ. They break whatever ties Allah has ordered to be maintained. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And spread corruption in the land. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. It is they who are true losers. One of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides in the Quran is that He gives examples, parables, amthal. What is the purpose of this? You see, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about in the Quran, some of these things are not tangible things. You can't see them, you can't feel them. Right? For example, guidance. Guidance does not have a form or shape that you can see. Right? For example, paradise. You can't sense paradise. For example, Allah Himself. You can't see Him. These are what? They are not tangible. And so in order to bring meanings close to a person's mind so that a person is able to understand, Allah gives examples. Yeah. He gives examples in the Quran. Now, some of the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, such as what? The two that we have looked at, the example of the munafiqeen. Other places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives example of guidance and how guidance is like water. Through water Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life, and through guidance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives spiritual life, iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides He can utilize any of His creation to give an example. Now, in some examples, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses very small creation. For example, a mosquito. In Surah Al-Hajj, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ. Allah says, those who you worship other than Allah cannot even create a fly, even if they all gathered in order to do so. Never mind creating the fly. وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُوهُ مِنْهُ. If the fly was to take anything from them, they cannot retrieve it back. Allah says, ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ. Both are weak. The one who is seeking to retrieve and the one who has taken something away. In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah names a surah by this example. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. The example of those who have taken helpers other than Allah, friends other than Allah, associates other than Allah. كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتَ. They are like what? Huh? What is ankabut? Spider. A spider that has made a dwelling. The web of a spider. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who disbelieve with all their might and all of their intelligence and all of their know-how and all of their strength and all of their wealth and all their numbers, if they all gathered together and plotted and planned against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their plots and plans are like what? The web of ankabut, a spider. And Allah says, وَإِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. The weakest of dwellings is the dwelling of what? Of the spider. Well, you just pass your hand through it and it's gone. You know, how much effort, how much, precision and how much calculation and day and night work. And then you come along and you just... And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of their power and their might and their intelligence and their wealth and their numbers getting together and planning and plotting against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen of Islam is like what? Ankabut. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that surely Allah does not shy away from using the example of a mosquito or what is even smaller, فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, مُفَسِرٍ said, this can have two meanings. We translated as smaller, but it could be something that is bigger, right? فَوْقَهَا has two meanings. Either it is something that is greater in size. For example, the mosquito is smaller than the spider. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He can use an example of a mosquito or the example of a spider. Or it can mean فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, that anything that is smaller than that. For example, وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, you know, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Very minute. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قِطْمِير. Qitmir is the skin that is between the date and the date stone. You know, when you eat a date, you have that little, very fragile, very small, very minute. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why should Allah shy away from taking example of these creation? The disbelievers, the fasiqoon, the rebellious, they say, oh, what does Allah mean by these example, mosquito, ant, you know, bee, spider? What is this? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I created them. And so if I create them and I provide them, I can utilize them as an example. You don't see their importance, but Allah knows the importance of every creation. Nothing is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suda in vain. Everything has a purpose. The only one that does not know its purpose, or the only creation that is the human being and the jinn. Everything else has a purpose and fulfills that purpose. And so Allah does not shy away. Just because the disbelievers find it weird and can't understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a mosquito in the Quran, or gives an example of a spider in the Quran, or any other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Allah will not shy away from giving these examples. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Those who truly believe, they know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives such example, it is the truth from their Lord. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. What does Allah mean by such an example? We don't understand. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Either by the example or by revelation, Quran. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And he only misleads and misguides what? The fasiqin. I just remembered something I heard from. That when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always provide guidance. Other things you ask for, Allah may give you, He may not give you. Guidance He will always give. That is the justice from Allah. And when Allah misguides, it is not unjustly. When a person takes the means of misguidance, Allah allows them to continue in that misguidance. They make the active choice to be misguided. They turn away from the signs of Allah, or revelation, or the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So through this test, He leaves many to stray and guides many. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to stray, none to stray except the rebellious. Fasiq is rebellious. Rebellion against Allah is fusuq. Now, fusuq is of two types. One is kufr. This is one fusuq. And one is a believer that sins. This is also a fasiq. We know that somebody that commits sin openly is considered, although a believer, considered what? A fasiq. Because they are sinning openly, they are rebellious. But the meaning here of fasiqeen is not the believer who is sinning openly. No, this is the kafir. Because Allah explains, which fasiqeen do I mean? الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ. Those who violate Allah's covenant after it has been affirmed. What is the covenant of Allah? لا إله إلا الله. To worship Allah alone. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ. And they break whatever ties Allah has ordered to be maintained. Ties with parents, ties of kinship. Allah has ordered these to be maintained. They cut these ties. Allah says, وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And spread corruption in the land. Just like the munafiqeen. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. It is they who are true losers. What have they lost? What have the disbelievers lost? or those who rebel against Allah, what have they lost? What do you think? They are losers. What do they lose?
Mercy.
Huh?
Mercy.
Hmm. They lose the ability to benefit from the mercy of Allah. They have no access to mercy. They are khasirun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ لَهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ مِنَ النَّارِ وَمِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ. The evident loss is ending up in hellfire. The evident success is being saved from hellfire. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. The one who is saved from hellfire and entered into paradise is successful. The one who enters hellfire is a loser. Following that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after he calls to his oneness and his worship, he says, how can you deny Allah? كيف تكفرون بالله? How can you deny Allah? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. You were lifeless and he gave you life. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. You were nothing. Not mentioned. Your name was given after you were born. Or maybe a few days before you were born, a few weeks before you were born. Your parents decided, okay, we're going to name him this. And they referred to you. Before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you were nothing. Lifeless. He brought you to life. He gave you life. So how can you deny Allah? كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How can you deny Allah? You were lifeless and he gave you life. He will cause you to die and again bring you to life. There are two deaths and two lives. This is why the disbelievers on the day of Qiyamah, they will say what? قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَمَتَّنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ وَأَحْيَيْتَنَا اثْنَتَيْنِ. That we were in two states of life and two states of death. One is that you were nothing and Allah brought you into existence. And then you will die and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect you. So how can you deny Allah? How can you deny God, Allah, when you were lifeless and He gave you life? Then He will cause you to die and again will bring you to life, and then to Him you will all be returned. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterates and reminds, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. He is the one who created everything in the earth for you. And so you see how the Quran, at times it is very harsh in its tone. Like for example this. How can you deny Allah? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He softens and He reminds, how much I've given you. Look at how much I have given you. He is the one who created everything in the earth for you. Allah is not speaking to the believer here. He's speaking to the non-believer who denies. Allah says, did I not create all of these things for you? In order to do what? This is a soft approach. Inviting with what? وَدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلَ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Musa was sent to Fir'aun. Allah says, إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Fir'aun is a tyrant. He claimed what no one claimed other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He claimed God's lordship and Godship. I am your Lord. But when Musa was sent, he said what to Musa? He said, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. Speak to him softly. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. He may remember or he may fear. And so they say that somebody came to Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, you know, person, and he said, Ya Umar. Umar was a khalifa, a ruler. So he said, Ya Umar, I'm going to give you some advice. He said, okay, advice is welcome. He said, but I will be harsh with you. He said, harshness, no. The advice is welcome. The harshness is not. He said, I am not worse than Fir'aun, and you are not better than Musa. Musa is better than you, and Fir'aun was worse than me. And even then Allah said, speak to him softly. So don't give me no harsh advice. I will not accept it. Anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds of his favors. He is the one who created everything in the earth for you. Then he turned towards the heaven, forming it into seven heavens. And he has perfect knowledge of all things. Mufassirin say that through this we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the earth before he prepared the heavens. Because Allah says, then he directed his attention to the heavens. The heavens were created. Right? Heavens and earth were created. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did what? There's a verse. قُلْ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَتَجْعَلُونَهُ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say that you disbelieve in the one who created the earth in 2 days. And you associate partners to him. ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He is the Lord of the worlds. Then, قُلْ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَ الْأَرْضَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ وَتَجْعَلُونَ لَهُ أَنْدَادًا ذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ وجعل فيها رواسي من فوقها وبارك فيها في أربعة أيام سواء للسائلين. And then a further 2 days in order to do what? To create the mountains and rivers and streams and trees and plants and all of this. That is 4 days. And then ثم استوى إلى السماء وهي دخان. So سماء is created, but it is in a form of smoke. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directs then his attention. When the creation of the earth is complete, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completes the creation of the heavens. And he has perfect knowledge of all things. Allah has perfect knowledge of what is in the heavens and what is in the earth. And so, if we summarize this, Allah is inviting to his worship alone because he brought us from non-existence into existence. And then he made the earth as a place of settlement. And then he provided and placed provision in this earth. And then we will die and return to him. We will die, we will be resurrected, and we will return to him. Are these not enough reasons to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not associate any partners with him? But even then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to mention one more favor. And that is what? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Adam alayhi salam and the creation of Adam alayhi salam. But we will leave this to next week bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, Allah does not shy away from giving an example of what? Of a mosquito, or what is smaller or bigger. Some mufassirin say this is just a general statement. Others say no, this ba'uda, mosquito, Allah is speaking about the worldly life. This worldly life is like what? A mosquito. Meaning the disbeliever in the worldly life is like a mosquito. That it lives as long as it is hungry and light. But when it, you know, consumes and is nourished and it comes to a point, it dies. And we know that the lifespan of a mosquito is not very long. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the life, the enjoyment of the disbeliever of this life is very short, just like the enjoyment, the shortness of the life of a mosquito. So they say that this is هَذَا مَثَلٌ ضَرَبَهُ اللَّهُ لِلدُّنْيَا. This is an example which Allah gave of dunya. أَنَ الْبَعُوضَةَ تَحْيَا مَا جَاعَتْ, that the mosquito continues to live as long as it is hungry. فَإِذَا سَمُنَتْ مَاتَتْ, when it adds weight and it has consumed enough, then it dies. وكذلك مثل هؤلاء القوم. This is the example of the disbelievers. إذا امتلأوا من الدنيا ريا أخذهم الله عند ذلك. When they have enjoyed, and this is mentioned in one of the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the disbelievers deny, Allah says فتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء. We open the doors of everything for them, and they're enjoying. Allah says to Rasulullah, درهم يأكلوا ويتمتعوا. Let them eat and enjoy themselves. They are enjoying. When they reach a certain point that is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أخذناهم بغتة. We take them what? Suddenly. They are removed from this life to face the anger and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eternally. Also, in describing the fasiqeen, the rebellious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they break the covenant of Allah, i.e. the command to worship Him and to obey Him, and then they break the ties of that have been asked to be, they have been asked to maintain. The believers are the opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ. True believers are those who fulfill the covenant of Allah. They worship Allah and they obey Allah. وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ. They don't break this promise and this covenant. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ. And those who maintain the ties that Allah commanded them to maintain. الَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلَ وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. They fear their Lord. وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ. And they fear a bad reckoning. وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ. That in the time of adversity and difficulty, they are patient, hoping to receive the pleasure of their Lord. ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ. Establish prayer. وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً. And they spend from that which we have given them secretly and openly. وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. And they repel evil with good. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عُقْبَ الدَّارِ. They will have paradise. Okay. So the rebellious is the one who breaks the command of Allah to worship Him alone without associating any partners to Him. And they break the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they break the ties that they have been asked to maintain. In contrast, the believers are described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as maintaining the covenant of worship and obedience, maintaining the ties of kinship. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from these believers. He says, in relation to هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا. It is He who created for you whatever is in the earth, or all that is in the earth. ففي هذا دلالة على أنه تعالى ابتدأ بخلق الأرض أولا ثم خلق السماوات سبعا. That first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the earth and managed the creation of the earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separated and made the heavens into seven heavens. And he says, this is not difficult for the mind to understand. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the sky is what? A canopy. It is a roof. And you cannot build the roof without building the ground. And so Allah built earth first, and then He built the sky. That's it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enlighten our lives and our hearts with this Quran and its meanings. And the more we, the stronger our relationship with Quran, The better we will understand, we understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting of us. This is the purpose. That Quran has been revealed as guidance. Guidance is what? What is expected of us? How do we live? What do we live for? And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, if we can, having a similar, you know, on a smaller scale, but a similar gathering in our homes will be very beneficial. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. That good and evil are not the same. Even if evil is in great quantity, like for example, now we are living in, because we are living in the end of days, and so the fitan are great. Rasulullah said, he prophesied, كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. Fitan are going to be what? Like pieces of a dark night. Dark night. We don't understand dark night because of this street lights and light everywhere. And you don't understand. But darknesses of the night. I remember once, Allahu Akbar, a few years ago, I went to Morocco. I did a visit to the desert. I was staying in a, you know, they called it a hotel. It didn't look like anything like a hotel. But anyway, I was, you know, out on the outskirts of the city that is the gate to the desert. And so, you know, I was there for a few days. I didn't need to go out. I was just staying in because it was extremely hot. But anyway, I thought to myself, okay, the last day just before I travel, let me go to the markets and see if I can buy some things, you know, some clothing or gifts or something like that. So I just came out. You know, you come out here any time of the day and night, go Tesco's. So I came out, you know, a little while before, maybe Asr time. And I went to the market, had some food, bought some things. And then Maghrib came. I said, okay, prayed in the masjid, then left. Maybe 20 minutes. You know, I think I walked like 200 meters. Complete darkness. You can't see. You know, I stood, you know, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. When they are in a state of darkness, I just stood. I did not know. You don't know where to go. There's no, you know, no direction. You don't know left, right. I just stood. Complete darkness. That you can hear things, but you can't see anything. All you see is the lights behind you. But then, if I go back to the markets, where you can't spend the night there. And so I just stood. I stood there and I'm like, Ya Allah, what do I do now? Until I heard some voice, footsteps. And so I just called out. And this person, because he's used to that environment, so I called out and he came. And I said, brother, I don't know where I am. He said, where do you want to go? I said, I mentioned the place where I was staying. And he goes, okay, just, you know, this way, that way. I said, I don't know. All of those lights, there was like a strip of, you know, these sort of little dwellings or hotels or whatever you. And you can see the lights at a far distance, but you don't know which one is which. And so you could end up kilometers away, 2-3 kilometers away from the place. So I asked, where is it? He said, oh, over there. And then I thought to myself, look, this is how we are in life. Without a messenger that will point out the way, you are in complete darkness. And this is the guide. Allah says, Noor. Anzalna ilaykum nooran mubina. An evident and clear light. And so we should have these gatherings in our homes. Either we read from translation, even if that is difficult, then you know you get a very simple, easy to read books that summarize surahs of the Quran, different surahs of the Quran. And we do what? We discuss this amongst with our family, with our wives and our children, in order to make their minds, right? Their worldview has to be in accordance to the Quran. Without that, we cannot hope to begin to fulfill our purpose in life. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Thank you.